Good morning.
Mornings. Oh, Caleb's typing something very furiously.
I'm not.
Okay. I saw it being erased with a little pencil. Okay.
Yeah. I want one of those.
Okay, I was thinking either just comment. Ed, welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 39, Comic Talk. I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
Murray's a loser, but that's okay.
Yeah, he hasn't seen the Avengers yet. Avengers movie yet. We were going to talk about that today, but Murray just killed our plans.
I know.
We were going to spoil it for everybody else.
Now
probably.
I'll go see it Monday afternoon or something.
Okay, all right.
While you're all working.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, touche.
Ooh.
Maybe I'll see it Tuesday afternoon, too, and Wednesday. Oh, I could probably see the Thursday matinee,
too.
Oh,
now you're just being mean.
We'll see it 3D, then 2D, then 3D, then 2D. Yeah.
That's right.
See
I can totally
see it 2D
compare.
And 3D at the same time. No, just kidding.
That's right. I'll bounce between the theaters.
Just put one glass on your eye so you can see it. No, anyway. I didn't want to see it in 3D. We saw it in 2D.
I Murray, just again, as with all Marvel movies, stay through the credits.
Oh, yes. Yeah. All the way, because there's two sequences at the end this time.
Excellent.
I'm glad we stayed for it, because it was pretty cool.
Yeah, the theater, for the first one, not to ruin it, but for the first one, the theater was still full. You know, everyone knew that something was coming. And then as soon as that scene popped up, there's like, big shh, quiet. and then the theater empties, and those of us who read the internets stuck around to the end, and it was a funny payoff. So
yeah, it was. All right. Let's see. This is going to be a comic talk episode, so we're just going to talk about whatever the hell we feel like.
Sure.
Okay, so has anybody else read Titans Annual number one?
No, I have not.
I have.
But I just got through reading the Free Comic Book Day DC Comics thing.
Ooh, I read that one too.
That was something.
Yes, I was running a mud run yesterday, so I did not get to Free Comic Book Day. My bad.
Oh, man, I was lucky. I got the last DC Comics thing that they had, and I was there 15 minutes after it opened.
What's the big deal about this Free Comic Book Day thing? Jeff Johns has been talking it up for.
Well, okay, they've pretty much talked about the newest event. The next event is called Trinity War. We're not giving you too much details, they gave the origin of Pandora, Phantom Stranger, and The Question in it as well.
Question, okay.
Yes, and if you pay attention, they kind of give you a hint about Shazam a little bit. And there's some little tidbits, and you gotta read it closely.
So is The Question the third part of the Trinity?
Yes, he is the third sinner.
The Question. Okay, is it Vic Sage or is it Rene Montoya?
Well, we don't know. No, it's not. It's a guy.
Oh, okay.
Well, and you'll understand, but we don't know his name previously. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, they're really setting up Justice League as being the book that you need to be – like it's – even though so far it's been pretty, I'm not going to say shallow, but surface level. Like it's been straight surface superheroics taking on the bad guys. There's a lot more going on under the surface of JLA, I think, that we're going to start to see. Like this little Free Comic Book Day preview showed all sort of the... all the stuff happening underneath Justice League. So there's all these secret. Now, I get, was it in the Justice League headquarters or it was in some sort of, it wasn't JLA headquarters. It was
in Argus.
Yeah. Like there's all these secret rooms, like a magic room and a room of, I don't know, the red room, the dark room, the black room, and they're building, yeah, like this Argus, a second group of heroes that are going to be out there. I presume they're heroes, like some sort of task force or a secondary group to support the League, which is where we're going to see, I think, Green Arrow and some of those other characters that popped up in that poster.
Yeah, there's a 4-page gatefold thing, and that's what talks about it just leads up to the Trinity War.
The new vibe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, no way. It's Vibe. So, yeah.
Jeff Johns is a true geek.
Yeah, he is. But, like, you look in the Black Room, they show a picture of the Black Room. The Haunted Tank is in there. That's supposed to be all – it says the Black Room, overseen by Argus, a vault containing the world's most dangerous supernatural artifacts. And I don't know all of it in there, but I saw – if you look in the background, there's a Red Lantern battery. Saw the Pandora mask.
The what mask?
The Pandora mask. Or not Pandora. What the hell is
it? The Medusa mask.
That's it. That's what I'm thinking of.
Psycho Pirate. Okay.
I was looking at Pandora and said that right after. There's like some big ship and there's a chandelier made of bones. Oh, yeah, the Spirit.
I haven't seen this, but I just want to comment on this. Is what Free Comic Book Day is.
Mm-hmm.
This is what DC, Marvel, et cetera, should be doing. They should be putting out new content, which they stopped doing they did initially when Free Comic Book Day first really took off, and then they stopped. They just started reprinting stuff. I think the last new one from DC was the War of the Lanterns one that they did, or the prelude to that.
Yeah.
I'm very disappointed in myself.
Wasn't there Blackest Night? They did like a Blackest
Night. Yeah, they did a Blackest Night.
I think it was a reprint, though.
I don't know. I'd have to look. I don't remember.
It was a reprint.
Well, no, it wasn't really a reprint. It was just kind of like, this is the Green Lantern universe kind of thing, because they had a page talking about there might have been some reprints in there, too.
Anyway. I will have to find it. I will see if I can still have my copy. Because I'm pretty certain it was just reprinting previously published material. Whereas I think this is cool, where they've got brand spanking new material, which is relevant.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pandora's in there stealing something. Well, her box, as a matter of fact. And spoilers, by the way, if you haven't figured that out already, I would figure everybody that got a copy read this, and we'll continue talking about it if you don't mind, Caleb. Is that cool?
No. I'm fine with it. I will read it eventually. I'll find a copy somewhere.
But yeah, she's sitting there and she's talking to Trevor as she's about, you know, she's got a gun on him, and she says, the Spear of Destiny, the Black Diamond, the Seven Spells of Shazam. Quite a collection you've amassed, Colonel Trevor, but this belongs to me. And it's Pandora's box. And that was her sin, quote unquote. She didn't know it was bad. You know, it shows that in the beginning. She's, you know, trying to, you know, but yeah, she steals Pandora's box. I thought it was interesting the Haunted Tank was in there. And there's some kind of funky armor in the background. That might be that Armor of Souls or whatever that Batman had there for a while. Whatever the hell that was. A lot of it I don't recognize.
I think it's cool that Steve Trevor seems to be a major role to play in the DC universe. Interesting.
Yeah, and there was there's a line in here that disturbed me, and I think that it's like going to show things to come. He's talking to his assistant, and you know, there was he's talking to her and says, Justice League took down Professor Ivo's mad android, Edda. They did their job, and they showed a little bit of that in Justice League. When they're fighting Amazo, and that's when the issue with Green Arrow in it. So this is like right after. And she's Edda, which I think is like that Edda from a Wonder Woman.
Edda Candy.
Yeah, but I think the original one was white, and they've got her black. Not that it matters, but just.
Well, yeah, the original was a chubby, funny, blonde college girl. Yeah, this is certainly a new take on Etta.
But then she says, but they caused millions of dollars in property damage. The city's going to sue someone. And this is what disturbed me. He says, big smile on his face. I don't think he's completely serious. He might be just putting on a face for her. But he says, we clearly helped establish any damage was Green Arrow's fault. The league doesn't make mistakes. And I'm like, whoa. You know? In the Red Room, you know, in Star Labs where Cyborg was made, they some kind of thing kicks in called a monitor machine, and it's showing scenes from Earth 2. And the first scene they show is Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. Now, I assume everybody's read that, right?
I have.
Okay. So, yeah, it shows a battle that we've already seen, but then they show – and. I want to talk about Earth 2 a little bit too, because I get what they're doing with it. But it shows, looks like Alan Scott, and he's got some sitting there with some green light, and he's saying his version of the oath, like from the old days.
Right. It
shows Jay Garrick as the Flash. You know, snippets of it. And. But anyway, so that's the kind of stuff they show. There's stuff all the way through it. And then at the end, you know, the very end of it, they show the end of this thing is the near future. And it shows a new, quote-unquote, Green Lantern. It's obviously it's got to be Jon Stewart.
It looks like.
I mean, it's obviously a black man, but he's got a mask on. And he's fighting Batman, and then you get the big four-page thing, and you really can't tell who's against who, but I have a feeling it's Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman against the rest of the league.
In the four-page spread, in the gatefold thing?
Yeah. But I'm not
positive. No. Huh?
Yeah, in the four-page thing.
No, that was the league versus those other heroes. Like, it was Flash versus Vibe, Superman versus Green Lantern, Wonder Woman versus...
Well, the Trinity would have to be those three, the three sinners then.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I get it, the new guy, because, well, yeah, that makes sense.
And it was Adam versus...
Well, except for maybe Aquaman's the leader of that second, because Wonder Woman's got his lasso around Aquaman, got her lasso around Aquaman.
Well, he's probably trying to protect his wife after she decked her.
Oh, that's right. It is. I didn't see her there. But, okay, so you got Black Adam up there, and looks like Deadman's about to take him over. Superman smacked that new Green Lantern with a big old column. You see Hawkman in there. The Atom, Green Arrow, Cyborg, Element Woman. And of course,
yes. Yeah, so, Murray, you're reading Frankenstein still, right?
Yep.
Okay, so Ray Palmer is not the Atom, right?
No.
Not that we know of. He has shrinking technology, but we haven't seen him do anything that would lead us to think that he's also the Atom.
Okay. I remember many moons ago they talked about the. Yeah, that'd be Ryan Choi that would be the Atom. But,
yeah.
I think that's probably the route they're going to go. But until, I guess, we see the character close up, we are not going to know.
Yes, as Paul French says, if it's not in the book, everything else is conjecture.
As DC has said, I mean, if it's not on the page, it didn't happen.
Right.
So that's their whole thing with this reboot is, you know, we're going to show you what is real and what's not real, and anything else, you know, is all in your head. I mean, they didn't say those exact words, but
yeah. But yeah, I it was good. There was more happened in that one issue than probably all six or seven issues of Justice League.
I need to call my local guy and see if he's still got a copy. He might
be at
82. That's cool, and they're. I like the way they're tying the Shazam stuff in. Like they don't come out and say these are the Shazam.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they set
them
up.
That's what I meant by really got to pay attention because you got, I don't know, six or seven wizards, and even the Phantom Stranger calls him wizard, you know, please wizard, which that might have been a general term. But then when they show all of them standing around, and if you look closely at their outfits, they all have a lightning bolt on their outfits.
Yeah, they've all got the lightning motif going on there. So
you know, when they show the wide angle shot before they sentence Pandora, she's standing on the symbol, the lightning symbol of Shazam.
You guys are killing me. I got to get my hands on this thing. Damn it.
Yeah, damn, I thought that was a cool way to introduce the question. Like I'm.
Yeah.
It's. Like they said that the third sinner, when it's revealed, people are going to be like, what? And
yeah, I was. I'm like, what? Yeah,
it was like, really? Interesting.
So they've mentioned the Spectre, but the Spectre is not the third sinner. Okay.
No. And given the history, like of Question and Phantom Stranger, we don't consider them necessarily – like. They're on the side of the heroes.
Hello?
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 Can you hear me?
Gone.
Yeah, Am I still here? Yes.
You had a glitch?
Was there dead air?
So I heard a... There was. It was like, they don't get sit. Oh. And then it started, so...
Oh my gosh. All right, well, let me repeat. Like, we don't think of those guys as being... villains. Like they're usually on the side of the heroes. So in the new 52, are they playing with our expectations, thinking like we expect them to be heroes?
I'm sorry, I don't care about
Oh, you just cut out, Caleb.
Okay.
Are you back?
Whoa. Yeah, I'm gonna drop it and invite me back in, okay? Because I think it's me. Because you guys seem to be okay.
Yeah, you were the only one to cut out. We could hear fine.
Okay, I'm gonna drop. Invite me back in here in a second.
Okay.
It's a time zone thing. The West Coast is being hit at this moment by electromagnetic pulses that are just ravaging.
Okay, I'm gonna invite him back in. Hello? Oh, did I do just kick him out? Hold on.
This will be a Caleb free zone.
All right.
You back?
I'm back.
Okay.
Sorry. Quit talking smack about me behind my back.
Well, we weren't.
I'll listen. I know where to hear you.
All right. So. What else were we talking about?
I need to get my hands on this thing. I'm very normally, like I said, I normally avoid the Free Comic Book Day stuff just because it's usually not germane or have anything to do. But this sounds too cool.
The Avengers.
Yeah, it's a good read.
Okay.
The Avengers, they call it 0.1, and it looks like a story. You know, Steve is. The super soldier and Bucky is Cap. I just glanced through it. I haven't read it yet, but it's like a story from back then and it's very Spider-Woman centric.
I think though it's a repeat. Like I think it's a reprinting of one of their 0.1.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
I don't know. It looks interesting. It says Ultron is back. That's the name of the subheading is Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I think it's promoting something that's coming up, but I think it's one of the Avengers point one issues.
Okay.
From a month or two ago. Either way, it looks kind of.
As far as I know, DC only did one, but technically Marvel may have done. Well, they did two at least, because they've got a preview of that Spider-Man season one, the, you know, not
right.
That they did. Yeah, my comic shop, they're starting out. This was their first year, and you actually had to you could get one comic if you bought something, and then three more comics if you bought another purchase. So
really, my shop had it cool. Like they had dollar bins set out on the sidewalk outside the store, mm-hmm. which was kind of cool. Like that pulled a lot of people in. And then when you were inside, you could just kind of pick however many.
Mm-hmm.
However many you wanted, I think. I hit another store in Guelph yesterday too, and they had them all kind of set out on a table, and they were like, you can have one of everything,
mm-hmm.
or if you take the hardcover, like there was that hardcover that they put out. They said,
the mouse guard?
Mouse guard one. Yeah
it's already I saw that on Bleeding Cool. It's already selling for $13, but go on.
Really?
Yep. Anyone calling?
Yeah, so this other store, they said if you take the mouse guard one, you can have 8 other comics to go with it. So that, I mean, I thought that was cool too. And then then I try to do a little purchase too. I mean, none of the stores I went to require that you do a purchase, but
yeah, but
I feel like
they're the guy that's running it and his wife, you know, they're pretty young and he still has to work another job. So I didn't say much, but I thought that was a little but hey, you know, the place up in Memphis, I usually go up there, but I just really couldn't afford it this time, and we had a lot of crap going on yesterday. They would, you know, you can get, they'll have, you know, huge piles of stuff, and they'd say, okay, you can have one comic for free, and if you want everything, you got to buy something, which, you know, I would get everything I could grab. But yeah, I mean, you know, and they do have to actually pay for those free comic book they things. So, I mean, considering, you know how it goes. But anyway.
Yeah, but you want to create a feeling of, you know, these are cool people. I want to keep giving them money, and if they.
Yeah, I mean, they're nice. They're nice. And they give me a great, you know,
back rub. They give you a good back rub.
Yeah, they give me a lot of good discounts. You know, if I order something, I get just as good as DCBS. So.
Okay. Well, I've got to find me a copy of this damn thing. Whether, you know, I will go above and beyond, but I'm not going to pay money for it. It was free yesterday, so it should be free today.
Oh, yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Totally.
It's like that mouse guard thing. Whatever. I'm. That's.
Yeah.
But there was
that's classically, you know, because I've got a lot of free Comic Book Day stuff, and I always put them in Comic Base, and they're always worth at least $1. You know, if you're just getting them to, you know, offload them later. And then others, sometimes you get one and it's worth a bunch. Mm. But that doesn't happen very often. This one, I imagine, will be worth something.
The mouse guard or the Justice League?
Justice League one.
Okay. Probably for that poster alone, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they showed it on the net, but they didn't tell what the context was.
Is it part of the story, or is it just...
Yeah, it's part of the story. That's how they end it.
Okay. Okay, you guys suck. That's okay. It's not your fault.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things.
It's a burden I will carry.
Yeah, I can tell that you're saddened by your lot in life. Okay, well,
yes, totally.
As I sit here with being the one who doesn't actually have the comic, so. Okay.
You got Teen Titans Annual 1?
I did.
I just haven't watched it.
I got it fine, but...
Issues?
It was just a big, long fight.
Okay. Much like the Avengers movie.
not much happened in Teen Titans Annual number one.
No, like they just had different variations of the fight. Like we had two teams fight, and then we had two other teams fight, and then we mixed it up and had some more kids fight.
I was interested in the... It was
interested in what?
A lot of noise.
A lot of noise. Okay.
Yeah, Even like reading regular Titans, like regular Teen Titans, there's fights and stuff, but there's always a little bit of a subplot or a character twist or something that hooks you in, and I didn't get any of that in this book.
There was one moment, and it was and it almost made the issue worthwhile. Was that this guy? What is the main the villain's name? I can't remember. All of a sudden, Harvest or whatever.
Harvest, I think. Yeah.
Spoilers. He mentions he's the reason that the Legion, those seven Legion characters, are back in the past.
Oh, really?
He brought them there.
Yeah, I remember.
How the hell are they going to do that?
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Like, I'm wondering if it's needlessly complicating something. Like, originally we had the team come back because they were chasing a villain, and then they got stranded. And that's...
It makes me wonder if they changed the reasoning behind that series.
I don't know. It'll be tricky. Like, originally it was straightforward. This is how kids go back in time, and sometimes bad things happen, and oops, they're stuck. Like, that's straightforward, traditional. But once they start throwing in other, oh, well, we wanted them to come back in time, and these are the ones that, like, we don't know what direction they're going yet, but if they start to go the direction that these are the seven Legionnaires that we wanted to come back in time, and so we manipulated things so that they would, you're starting to really push my suspension of disbelief there, but
yeah.
Perhaps we have the new time trapper.
Maybe. Yeah. Like we don't know the story behind it yet. So it's possible that they could spin it and make it all work and make it sound cool. At this point, I'm still kind of going, I don't know.
you think they changed direction midstream? I would agree on that, by the way. But it was as an introduction to this Cullen story, they could have cut it in half and made it a regular issue of Titans, and they wouldn't have lost any content or any story.
Okay, that's good to know.
It was not worthy of an annual. Their annuals for me
$5.
I looked back at the original New Teen Titans. Annual number two, for instance, or number one, but the with the back on Star Cars. I mean, tons of content. Or I mean, the best example, of course, is Legion of Superheroes Annual number one, where it's just chock full of information and introduction and so on and so forth. This was not so much. We know that Tyrock is the most powerful Legionnaire back there, and that Red Robin is the leader, and I think that's about it. Mm-hmm. Nothing about this would make me want to go out and buy the regular titles for either of these books.
No, it was super plot heavy. Like, it was very much directed by, this is the story we're telling, plot, whereas, I like a little more balance in my storytelling there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really disappointing, because Titans is one of my favorite of the new DC, of the new 52. Yeah. Legion Lost is moving up the ranks for me. Superboy is one of my books.
Well, see, I like.
So it's disappointing they could.
Yeah. I don't know. Legion Lost. I'm starting to have a problem with it. It's just it's like they had a specific thing, and it's just like, okay, and they forgot. Not only did they forget about it and not even talking about it, it's like it never happened almost. And it's like you said, the suspension of disbelief on it. But I don't know.
Well, and part of the change in direction for Legion Lost might be
the hyper.
Yeah, no, it might be that.
Yeah, I saw. I was just glancing through it. I did see that word there. So.
Yeah, like it might be the book. Since it's a book that's lower on the charts, they need to do something to bring eyes to it. So maybe the change in direction is coming from that end rather than a. Like rather than being creatively driven, it's more of a, hey, you guys, we need to pump up sales, so change in direction But we will see. Yeah, but it was kind of a lackluster start to the culling.
So yeah, but also this week we had Batwing, right? I didn't read it, but. That week came out for Night of the Owls, right?
Right. Which I was surprised to see. So was Detective.
Oh, okay.
Now I don't know. I mean, I'm still haven't read all of those. But yeah, it's right there on the cover. It was supposed to. I mean, you look in the solicit text on the website and the picture of it is completely different. And there's no Night of Owls mentioned whatsoever. And it's clearly that. Echo. Huh.
Sound a screwdriver.
Away. There he goes. It's gone.
it was probably like a last minute choice to bump them into Night of the Owl.
I mean, you saw Justice League. They even showed that in. Or was that at one of the Batman issues where they had the Justice League get involved? I don't remember. Did you guys see anything like that?
Like what? You broke up. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, there was a scene in one of the – it's either a Batman or in Justice League. It might have been in Batman where he gets them a bunch of those Night Owls on a plane and, you know, the Justice League are beating the crap out of them.
That – oh, I know the scene you mean. Yeah, that was in Justice League, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember.
That was the Green Arrow issue, right?
Yeah,
it probably was. It was the Green Arrow issue.
Yeah, they're up on the plane, and then Green Arrow somehow is up there, and then they eject him out into the.
Yeah, that's what it was. So anyway, yeah, I mean, they even had it in there a little bit.
I'm still having this weird sound thing. I'm actually going to quote.
Okay.
Hey guys, I'm actually gonna close out my Skype and then come back in because I'm having weird issues. It's just me, clearly. It's not you guys. So
okay.
I'm gonna actually close out.
All right. Back
in. Keep talking. Don't mind me. I'll be back.
All right, here we go.
All righty.
Yeah, we'll just vamp a little bit.
Sure.
So.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
I can tell you. Yesterday, I went to the Toronto Comic Arts Festival.
Oh, okay, yeah, tell us all about it.
It was really cool. I had never been before. I'd heard about it from Scott and Paul, but I had never had the chance to get there. And it's really cool. It's like, I'm trying to think of how I would describe it. It's kind of like a comic convention, except it's much more independent comics focused. And it's kind of like a cross between Artist's Alley and dealer's booths. Like there's not panels, you don't have guest speakers or anything, but you've got tables and tables of artists and comic creators, and it's really cool. Like they have it set up in one of the Toronto University libraries, and just tables and tables and tables of different comic artists and writers And it's so cool. You just kind of wander around from table to table and you see what they've got. And it was really neat to see like so many different types of comics. Like I think we saw one table where there were some Batman comic creators there. But other than that, it was all independent artists, independent creators with their own stuff and such a variety, like it was amazing, amazing, amazing to see.
That's cool.
It was really cool. Like there were some publishers that had tables there, so top shelf, I think. And
you back, Caleb?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay,
I'm just listening.
Unless there are other publishers there, but there were so many. Fabio Moon was there.
Oh, that's cool.
Fabio, or maybe it was Gabriel Ba. One of those guys was there. I'm pretty sure it was Fabio Moon.
from Umbrella Academy?
From Umbrella Academy, yeah. And Day Trippers and stuff. It was, so cool. I picked up some great stuff. I picked up... one of the comic book comic guys was there. Ryan Dunleavy was there, so I picked up the issue there that I was missing. I needed the final issue of Comic Book Comics, and I picked up...
I got all those on Comicology. That is a great series.
I'm looking forward to finishing it. I'm trying to remember his last name, Scioli from Godland, I think, was there. So I picked up the first volume of Godland to try. What else? Ray Fox was there, so I got to get the next little he does a kid series about a book
No relation.
No, he spells his name completely differently,
how completely different could it be? But whatever.
Well, you would be surprised at all the ways to spell Fox. There's Red Fox with two X's, I'm sure you could throw a silent E on there if you want it to be hoity-toity. Ray Fox spells it with a F-A-W-K-E-S. It's
with an umlaut?
With it, sure. We'll throw an umlaut in there, too.
Like Guy Fox? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like him. That guy. Yes, so I picked up one of his books for the kid. It was cool. It was really cool to see, there were lots of webcomic creators there that had then taken their webcomic and published books.
Cool.
It's so much easier these days to self-publish and stuff. It was amazing to see.
If I can do it, anybody can.
Yeah, so that was a cool way to spend the day. I got to hang out for a little bit with... the creators of the animated Legion comic.
Oh, cool.
Alex Serra and Jack Brelio, and talked with Francis Manipul for a little bit, and it was a neat day all around. And now I have a stack of books that I can read when I'm not spending my afternoons going to the Avengers movie.
Well, that's good.
Totally. Yeah, it was well worth it.
That's cool.
Francis Manipul is all over the freaking place. He's going to be in Phoenix at the end of the month. I think he's at another con here. Oh, my God, the guy's everywhere.
Cool. All right.
Takes no time.
Yes. You're still cutting out a little bit there, Caleb, but it's not too bad.
I don't know. Okay.
You're fine so far.
Okay.
No worries. No worries.
Okay.
So, what else? Picked up the Valiant Free Comic Book Day thing. It kind of shows the stuff that they're doing.
Oh, I meant to grab that. Did you grab the Valiant... what was it that came out this week? Exo Manowar?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't pick it up on Wednesday, but that was one of my purchases I used to get the Free Comic Book Day stuff. So I ended up. I haven't read it yet, but I've got it.
I should pick those up. I always liked Exo Manowar.
I never read any of those. So this is all new to me, and it looks interesting, though.
I was going to say I'm just completely unfamiliar with them, too, but it looks like there's some cool creators on the book, so.
Yeah. Yeah, looking through the Free Comic Book Day, apparently they've got Dwayne Skierzynski going to do Bloodshot. He's writing Bloodshot, so that should be interesting.
Huh. So. And I think... Abnett and Lanning are doing, I want to say, oh, no, it's not Abnett and Lanning. They might be doing something else. But Fred Van Lente is doing Mm-hmm. Archer and Armstrong with the Legion artist that was on like for a couple. Clayton Henry, the guy that did the Action Comics backups.
Oh, really?
The Legion was. Yeah, I loved his artwork. So that alone makes me want to check it out a little bit.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're having some kind of sale on Comixology on Valiant stuff, I think I saw.
Yeah, they're got a bunch of those, the old stuff. And, yeah. That's it. I thought there was something else. Is that still going on?
What?
That sale. I'm going to have to look. Because they've got a Zenoscope, there's a JSA, and there's a Avengers sale, sort of. Yeah, that one must be over.
Oh, the Valiant one's over. Okay.
Yeah, because right now I'm looking at Zenoscope where they got a bunch of Charmed and a bunch of other stuff. There's a JSA 101 sale. There's a lot of stuff there. All-Star. Oh, those looks like several of those All-Star comics with the Super Squad ones. All-Star Comics 59, 58, and some of those others. Oh, crap. If I wasn't broke, I'd get some of those. And then one of the bigger Avengers sales I've seen, they've got actual 70 comics, 99 cents. The first six issues of the new Bendis run of Avengers, and then 60 issues or so of the new Avengers.
They should just call it what it is. It's a Bendis sale.
Yeah, pretty much. So.
But I can promise you in all 100 of those issues, nothing happens.
I don't know about that. Some of these new Avengers are written by, I don't know if Bendis wrote all of them or not.
He did. He wrote every single one of them.
Yeah, it's like right after the new Avengers number one starts right after Avengers Disassembled.
Nothing. Okay, stuff happens. I'm sorry that I'm exaggerating, but it takes 10 issues for something to happen. So six or seven things happen.
Yeah. Something I didn't know. I mean, because I've noticed just looking at snippets of stuff, Iron Man's armor, he never really takes it off. It's like part of his body now. They kind of showed that Avengers versus X-Men. And I watched, I don't remember which one. It was either Iron Man or Iron Man 2. I watched, you know, part of my Avengers marathon this weekend we had before we went to saw Avengers. They had Warren Ellis on there talking about Extremis was a series within the series that he did, and it talks about how they wanted him to redefine Iron Man, and I guess that's one of the things they did. He is bring that armor internal to some extent. It's a lot more advanced now than when he did it, but that was something I didn't know, so. But I think it was in number two of AVX, you can see the faceplate doesn't like pop up. It just kind of like melts away. And that's kind of the deal now, I think, is it's like nanites in his body and he concentrates and armor forms around him. That kind of stuff did actually happen in Iron Man. But I don't think Bendis wrote it, so. Very interesting.
Because stuff happened. Sorry.
Well,
all right. I'm still breaking up here, guys. I'm only catching snippets of everything that everyone's saying here.
You completely.
I think
close Skype and.
Yep.
You did do that.
Been up and back. I tried it.
Okay. Well, we can just keep winging it.
No worries.
And you can always listen to the episode after. So
I think I will.
What else is to talk about? I was just
if I could download it.
That's all we're hearing.
Get a mic and I will.
According to CBR. Yep. All
right.
What? What? Huh? What? Okay. According to CBR. Avengers made $80 million on Friday.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It is going to be one of the summer movies for sure.
Absolutely. Okay. Caleb's apparently having lots of issues, so we're just going to continue on and shoot the crap. And
plus his internet's not working.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that might be part of it. So.
All righty. Well, that's all right.
That's fine. We'll continue on.
We'll pull him in another week.
Yeah, we'll pull him in another week. And we'll just talk about whatever. So what was I going to say? Yes, Avengers. Okay.
He's having some money maker.
You there?
I'm there.
Okay. Oh, is he gone? No. Okay.
He'll catch up later.
Okay. Sorry, folks. Yes. What an awesome book. That new 52 thing was. We can talk about it now since Caleb's gone. That was good stuff.
Yeah, I really liked it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
seeing what develops.
Yes, it makes me excited for Justice League. I was kind of getting, and speaking of that, it's time to I'm going to have to use the culling theme and some of the not so, with all this the second wave and I'm probably going to end up reading at least one X-Men title after AVX, in which there's a lot. Last week was light on AVX stuff. There was only one, the actual round three, which we can go in more detail, but I thought it was, a lot of people, well, Caleb, nothing happened there, but I have to say, spoilers on that, which, you guys have read it by now, I'm sure.
I have read it, yes. Yeah.
I mean, everybody out there's probably read it. I mean, it's like the big thing. It was one of the first things I grabbed because, I didn't want to get spoiled. But anyway, spoilers, and I'll give you a second. Okay, good. Wolverine got his ass kicked, and I just laughed and laughed. He has become – he's just come so holier than thou kind of thing, and – that kind of is what brought on the schism, I think, is the way he's, it just boggles my mind. And anyway, we talk in more detail about that later. But I'm having a big issue with Wolverine. I'm still on Team Cyclops, though. That's just me personally.
There you go. You won't commit to the full X-Men, but you'll go Team Cyclops.
Well, I'm with the X-Men for sure. But it's the... I don't know. I read that title for so long, and I've never really read Avengers, I guess. And I like Cap, don't get me wrong, but I just think he's wrong in his instance. And it's I don't know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where he's coming from. And he's – I don't know. He's coming off as a bit of a bully or pushy or
– Well, and I'll admit Cyclops might be a little fanatical right now. But he's still trying to keep a race from being, from extinction.
Yes, that is what he thinks.
So, even without the Phoenix in there, there's only, 200 left? Something like that? Depending on the day it is.
Exactly.
Who's writing the comic?
Totally.
That's something else. So let's see, the season one, and I don't know if I'll ever buy those. Maybe when they're on the dollar bins, those season one books. I'm not really sure what they were trying to accomplish with those. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're for me either.
I mean, they've all been retold, those origins have been retold so many times. It's, why do it again,
Well, I guess, if they're looking to get those books into a different market, if they're looking to get them into, the bookshelves or whatever, or the bookstores, then
I think they're they're graphic novels.
So, I don't know, maybe that... It's a starting point for someone who's looking for a good starting point for those books. And I guess if the stories are told well, it's like, I mean, I guess I could read a good origin story. I could read a good origin story again and again if it's told well. Like, I guess it's all in the telling, right? But
yeah, and I don't even recognize any of the names that, well, except for Cullen Bunn, who did Spider-Man. He's from the Sixth Gun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're pulling in some newer newer creators to Marvel. People that have done stuff before, I think, but maybe not for Marvel. So
yeah,
it's kind of neat to see different voices take the characters too. And I guess it's a way for Marvel to test.
Yeah. Well, and
they want to work with.
Yeah, and I think it's just because of the Earth One, Superman Earth One thing is why.
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be it, because, I mean, it's a lot like that. But you got – they've put out Fantastic Four, X-Men, and Daredevil already. And if you get the books, they have a code for a free digital copy. And you can buy them on Comicology, which I have a problem spending over $10 on something I don't have a physical copy of.
Yeah.
You know. So, but anyway. So that's not too bad of a deal. You get – and I wish – that's something I think – that should be done across the board. Now, DC's working on that with the combo pack. You pay an extra buck and you get the free digital. But I think that's the perfect way to appease the comic book shops. You get the digital one for free if you buy the physical, but I don't know. They only do that on the real high. Anything over $2.99 is the only thing Marvel does with that, it seems like. And it's not completely that's not exactly the rule either, it doesn't look like, but
yeah, I don't know, like for me $3.99, if all I get in addition is the digital copy, to me that's not that's not enough, like a
yeah, well then, like, you know, you pay an extra buck and that's only on certain ones,
DC. I guess, like, I think Marvel with their $3.99 books are including, I think they've said they're going to be including a digital download with every $3.99 book. I could be wrong. Either way, though, like if it's a $3.99 book and it's like AVX 1 and 2 where you're getting over 20 pages of content, I'm okay with that. If it's more like AVX 3 where I've paid $4 and I've got 20 pages maybe of story, that – I don't want to do that. Like, that to me is too much for two.
And it's not like, okay, you're getting a digital copy of a comic you've already read as well.
Yeah.
You know, which.
But I don't think I like DC's approach either of making it a digital combo pack where you're paying an extra dollar to get the digital copy. Like, because to me, that's I don't know, an extra buck for something that you already own, just in a different format.
Yeah,
I don't love that approach either.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, the only one I could even fathom doing that with would be Batman, just because it's so good. Then you could, you know, I could sit there at work with my iPad and reread those. I mean, I would consider double dipping on those, you know, if they were on sale or something. But yeah. But anyway, yeah, kind of along that line, you know, they're going to raise the prices of some of those and add backup stories. And I'm thinking that, you know, Detective is okay. It's an okay book, and it starts with this number 9, Night of Owls thing.
Right.
And they're going to supposedly do stuff in Detective later on. It has to do with Night at Owls, which makes me wonder if Tony Daniels' writing is up to snuff. But that's really close. If they're going to raise it to $3.99, and I don't think it's good enough to keep. for that price.
Right, right, right.
If it was $2.99, I'd probably just keep reading it and just, you know, keep going. But, like All-Star Western, that's $4, but it's worth it, I think, personally.
Yeah, I always enjoy it. Now, I could see myself – at the moment I bought All-Star Western in paper copy, I could see myself waiting a month and just going digital with it and
– yeah. Yeah.
And saving the buck.
And if I wasn't getting such a good deal at the comic shop I'm going to, for if I pre-order, I might just go digital with all of this stuff, really. I mean, as much as I'm a comic collector, but this stuff, I mean, it's not – the storage is becoming a problem, and I buy comics to read them, not to how much they're going to be worth. I don't do that anymore, you know.
Right, right, right.
I mean, if they're worth something, that's great. But I can see myself maybe doing that in the future just because of that. It's the storage issues becoming a problem.
Right, 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 right.
And, you know, but anyway.
I know down in my boxes in the basement, I've got tons of books that I've bought that, if digital had been available 20 years ago, I probably should have bought them digitally because I wouldn't have kept them. Like they're in my boxes now and they're still sitting there, but I'm probably not going to dig out my Geoff Johns run of Hawkman and reread it. I'm probably not going to dig out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're right.
I know I'm probably not going to dig out Countdown. I probably am not going to dig out the Trinity, like that 50 or the
– oh, the Trinity thing? Series. I'd like to get that bound and instead of having it in there. But you're right. Yeah, that's – that Trinity, it was good. But, yeah, you're right. I would probably – that would be one of the ones I'd get rid of. Yeah, because you're right. I'm never going to read that again.
Yeah, like there's stuff that I bought that – but if I had bought it digitally, it still would have been money that I had spent that I on something that I didn't love anyway. So
yeah, it is kind of it's kind
of. But then there's still tons of boxes downstairs that I know I'm going to dig through and reread and stuff. Mm-hmm. So. Someday if I ever feel like taking a scalpel to it, I'm sure I will go through the boxes and be brutal and
well, see, I'm not, that's getting rid of stuff I already have in the boxes is not important to me as cutting down what I'm buying to put in them. Because, it's easier to get these things as they come out digital is to replace those in digital if you even want them for that matter. And the way the comic market is, you're just going to be giving that crap away anyway. You're not going to be making any money off of it.
Right, right. So it's easier to not bring it into the house.
Yeah, exactly.
As a physical thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, if I want to get rid of them, who am I going to give them to?
Exactly.
You give them to the comic shop and say, hey, keep whatever you get, and then that's their problem to deal with.
Yeah. And suddenly there's a big bonfire behind the comic shop.
Or I could become a pirate and scan them all and post them up on some site or something like that.
I'm sure they're already posted.
Yeah, I'm sure they are too. But anyway, that's the quandary that we have in this digital age here. So
I know. Well, I mean, it's always right. Like I whenever I go down to the comic boxes, I'm thinking, wow, I bought a lot of stuff that I'm never going to reread. And I'm looking at the new 52 now, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm at that point now where there's the series that I know I want to keep. Mm-hmm. And then there's the series that I like, but am I going to reread them?
Yeah.
I don't know. And if I'm not going to reread them, should I be buying them to store them, to not reread them? Like if I'm just reading them because I enjoy them.
Yeah.
Then maybe I should be going digital because I'm still spending money on something that I enjoy, but not enough to.
Well, and that goes back to what you were saying earlier is, if it's something something like Justice League that you want to read right now, then you go ahead and get it. Or the other stuff, like, okay, Catwoman, I want to, you know, I might want to catch up on that later. Well, I'll wait till it's a dollar cheaper and get it then.
Right, right, right.
That way, you're still reading it but not paying as much.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not cluttering up the the house.
And then when you're done with it, you can even delete it off your iPad.
I just learned how to do that this week. I realized.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think you set in the app, you set the limit, and as you download stuff, the oldest gets just taken off.
Huh.
So you shouldn't have to manually go in there. Because I've had to re-download stuff already that I thought, well, I already had it on there, but that's the thing. The more you download stuff, the newest stays and the oldest gets deleted, but as long as you have that connection, you can always re-download it later. So.
Gotcha. See, I haven't downloaded enough to have to worry about that.
It's a pretty big, I think the limit's like 500 meg or something like that. It's what the default limit is, last time I looked.
I'm guessing that's big.
those comics can't even be, I would imagine, more than 1 or 2 meg a piece. So.
Gotcha.
But anyway.
Gotcha.
Yep.
All right. I'm trying to think of what else I bought in the last couple of weeks that was good. There was 1 week that I bought stuff, and it was like, there was barely any DC. There was barely any Marvel. It was all independent stuff.
Yeah, okay. Earth 2 was really good.
Oh, yes.
And I have to say, all the eights of all the books are really starting to come together, I think. I'm really enjoying those. Did you read the Rise of the Vampires
thing? I did not read any of that, no.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed in that. It didn't last that long.
Now, that went through iVampire and...
Yes.
Justice League Dark?
Yes, it started in iVampire number 6, and then went to Justice League Dark number 7, and then on to iVampire number 7, and then back over to Justice League Dark, and I ended in iVampire. So it was 6, 7, and 8 of iVampire, and 7 and 8 of... Justice League Dark, and I was kind of disappointed in that. It was kind of confusing. I'm not really sure why they did it, but I mean, it was great art and story otherwise. So yeah, I'm just not really sure why they did that. I liked it changed the status quo of iVampire, and I'm not sure what the purpose of that was. And then you got
whole new stories, different stories, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. the other thing I was kind of disappointed in was that Omega Effect that they set up in Daredevil, and it, you know, went from Avenging Spider-Man to Punisher Avenging Spider-Man number 6 to the Punisher number 10, and then ended in Daredevil number 11. I'm like, it didn't resolve anything. Stuff happened, but it was just kind of, considering who was doing it, Greg Rucka and Mark Waid, was really underwhelmed with it.
Hmm.
So, I mean, the Daredevil issues are good, but, you know, but yeah, I was underwhelmed with that.
Now, I'm trying to remember if they were advertising those as being able to be read independent of, like, how you, like, you could read each chapter and get a full story and not have to.
I don't think that was possible. That would be right. Possible with these. They were pretty closely tied together. Because, you know,
I'm misremembering. Maybe they didn't make that claim. I thought they did.
Well,
but
if they did, they lied. Let's just put it that way. I mean, you got your previously in there, and it's more tied into the specific book. But it's pretty much in the middle. You know, you coming in the middle of it if you're not reading the whole thing. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, I was I was really looking forward to that because, I mean, you'd think Raiden and Wucka working together again, you know, two of the 52 team, and it was just not doing it for me.
Huh.
But I love the dynamic they got in that in Daredevil, though. Punisher's, for such an action-oriented character, is going pretty slow, but there's a lot of deep stuff going on in there. Punisher had a sidekick there for a little bit. I don't know if it's still going to be. Not really. Well, he says ally, but, you know, she was a she. She'd had her family killed and was a Marine and everything. And in these issues, she was actually running around with the Punisher skull on her.
Kid Punisher.
Yeah.
Punisher girl.
Kind of interesting. Yeah, Spider-Man, that was funny. Spider-Man was trying to think of a name for her through the whole thing. So you see Punisher. Punishette, Miss Punisher, no, Punisher last, or I don't remember all he said, but that was kind of funny. You always got that Spider-Man humor is always good.
Yes.
So, anyway, what else we got? What else have you been reading?
I picked up the new Popeye. I picked up Popeye from IDW.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was I think it's done very much in the style of an old Popeye cartoon. So the artist on the book is let me check. It's written by Roger Langridge, who's always good. Bruce Ozella is the artist. And I don't know if this is, I suspect it's probably not his style, and that he's drawing more in the style of Popeye and E.C. Seeger. But I liked it. It was a good little book. Olive Oil had. I think I only remember her from the cartoons as being soft-hearted and sweet and sort of the damsel in distress.
Mm-hmm.
And she's definitely not that in this book. Like, it's not... She's hard. She's harsh.
Really? Well, see, you know, as a kid and, you know, getting into my teens, you know, being shunned by women so much, you know, I decided, you know, I didn't really care for Olive Oil, so... Because she was just manipulating those two guys.
There's a bit of that. I don't remember any of that, but there's a little bit of that in this book, and she's I would not call her sweet. Now maybe that's me misremembering, but she gets angry, and she's a little pushy, and she's quick to speak her mind for sure. And I thought, is this a new take on Olive Oil, or is that the way she's always been, and the cartoons portrayed her the way that cartoons have to portray her, or maybe I'm totally misremembering things because I do have a terribly bad memory.
Yeah, well, I never read any of the actual comics of Popeye. It was always cartoons and
right. Well, yeah, I remember seeing the black and white cartoons, and I'm sure as I was growing up in the library they had like collections of the newspaper strips or something. I haven't been able to find them since. I wanted to go back and look for them, but the Waterloo Library has no Popeye, if you can believe it.
Wow, they got Walking Dead, but no Popeye.
No Popeye, I know.
What is that about?
I'll have to check out the Kitchener Library or something. Either way, I enjoyed it. Like, it's a good little adventure story. You know, very well, adventure story in a cartoony style, but. Yeah, no, it's fun. It's a fun read, and I don't know if kids would find it a fun read. I'd like to think they would, but it's I don't know. Like, I know Tiny Titans. I know kids love reading Tiny Titans because there's enough in there that it speaks to the little guys. This, I think, is probably more of a nostalgia book than it is a book marketed for for real kids. But I could be wrong. There might be kids that would get into this. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't, I kind of liked it, so I'll probably get the next issue.
Yeah, there's stuff like that. You know, because I'm wanting to read the Shadow which I got, and it was good. I don't know enough about the Shadow character, but it seems like a somewhat new take on the character, and well, it seems to me. Like I said, I'm not up on all that. I was trying to read on Wikipedia to get an idea, and they're reinventing the pulp character, the Spider, and that's coming out, and those, it seems like those books I'm having actual, I order them, but they never seem to show up at the comic shop. Now, maybe it's because I'm the only one ordering it or whatever, and Lone Ranger's another one. I'm going to have to, maybe order it from DCBS and just get it whenever it shows up.
Right.
Because that seems like those like that I'm having trouble getting, so... But, you know, with stuff like that, if I want to get those and read them, then some other stuff's going to have to go because, you know, I just can't afford it all. I'm at that point, you know. DC added more comics that I want to read than what they took, you know, than was there before. So I'm ending up with more titles.
I know, and they all came out in the same week. Like Earth 2 was great. World's Finest was great.
Yeah.
I want to see more of Dial H.
That was interesting. I didn't think I'd like that, but that – I don't know. That's not my – and in G.I. Combat I haven't read yet, but I'm not going to read that. I just – I'm just not going to.
All righty.
No, even though you got Justin Gray and Paul Miatti and the Unknown Soldier in the back, that's not enough for me to pay $4. I think they need to get away from the backup story thing. It's just not working for me.
Yeah, I picked up G.I. Combat and I didn't love the Unknown Soldier backup. It was almost Punisher-y in its execution
there. I got the feeling it was going to be when you know the description on the cover is the dark and violent world of the Unknown Soldier. It's like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of generic and it wasn't anything I hadn't seen before, and it wasn't really anything that caught my interest. The War That Time Forgot, or whatever they're calling the first feature, is that what they're calling it? The War That Time Forgot?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, The War That Time Forgot with all the dinosaurs and stuff. That, I enjoyed that more than the Unknown Soldier part.
Hmm.
But.
I'll have to read it. It's on my pile.
Well, you got it. But
I got it. I just haven't read it.
Yeah, it's Ariel Olivetti does the art, and he kind of does it in that painterly style. So that's.
Yeah, I didn't really care for it.
Yeah, I don't love that style, but I mean, there are people that do, and I can kind of see it working with the dinosaurs and the monsters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why they went that route. It's not a style that I like, but I get it. It was okay, but I picked up the showcase of The War That Time Forgot a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I was reading through those stories, not all at once, mind you, because it's a little mind-numbing to read them all at once. But, you know, like in small chunks. And and they probably, like each one of those stories probably had the same number of pages that J.T. Krull had to work with. But their stories were packed with way more information. If I had to choose between original War That Time Forgot and modern War That Time Forgot, I'm going to go with original, because you got like beginning, middle, and end. You got characters that – I mean, they were stock characters for sure, but they were stocks that I recognized and I knew what to expect with them, whereas J.T. Krull's story was kind of drawn out and – and there wasn't enough of a story there. And I didn't think there was enough meat on the characters for me to really get. There was a little bit, like he gave us a little bit at the beginning. We get to see some of their home lives and stuff, but they're just, yeah, there wasn't enough there in that first story for me to want to pick it up again. So I tried the first issue, but it's not going to be for me.
Yeah. Which that's what I thought was going to happen. So.
Yes. But that's crazy. Like DC sends out four of their new 52.
Yeah. Isn't there what?
Second wave all in 1 week. That's crazy.
One or two left, I think.
Yeah. There's just the two. There's what? There's the
Batman Inc.
And what's the other? Oh, the Ravagers. And that one's not going to come out until like the end of May, whenever the culling finishes. So,
So
they could have spread things out if they'd wanted to.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they did that.
Maybe they thought, I don't know, maybe they thought.
Get it out before Free Comic Book Day or something.
Maybe.
Because I'm looking at my next week, and this is the big one when Batman and Batgirl and a lot of the Bat titles come out.
Yes.
So you got, let's see, Batgirl, Batman, Batman and Robin, Demon Knight, Green Lantern, Legion Lost, New Avengers number 26, which is actually, that's one of the tie-ins I actually want to read because it has to do with Danny Rand and the Phoenix.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then you got Punisher number 11, you got Superboy number 9. And then another tie-in, Wolverine and the X-Men number 10, but I'm not really sure if I'm going to get that one or not. Almost $40 if I pay full price for it all.
Pay full price. Smuggle.
Well, no, I don't do that.
Smuggle them under your shirt. Bring your knapsack into the comic store.
Yeah, they'd like that. I think those people are going from hand, you know, paycheck to paycheck as it is. I don't want to make it any worse on them. That's the thing that, you know, you get that kind of almost friendship, but yet customer owner kind of thing at the same time. It makes things awkward a little, you know, because like previous, you know, it's usually if I want to get a trade, I get it, you know, online where it's way cheaper and then just get the comics. But then, you know, I wanted to buy, needed to buy something, so that's what I bought. Was I bought a trade of, you know, trying to get those incorruptible trades.
Oh, right.
Yeah, because I haven't read those. So I got they had a clearance sale a couple of weeks ago, and I got the second one, so I got the third one here. But anyway, that is about it.
Really. For me, too.
Yeah, I've talked all I can talk without getting into the Avengers and, you know.
Yeah, we could do that next week once I've seen the movie. We can
just review the crap out of it. Sounds like a plan.
Yes, we can do the movie and get caught up on AVX.
We need to send Caleb a sonic screwdriver so he can fix his internet.
Totally.
So anyway, I think that covers it. So anyway, if the rambling episode, another rambling episode here. I think we covered things pretty good, though. So if anybody wants to comment about this or any other episode, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Oh, pardon me. Whew. It was up till after one last night, so I'm kind of tired. Anyway, you can put some comments on the Facebook page that we got. Just do a little searchy for it, Tales from the Long Box Podcast. Also, you can make comments on the actual website. Oh, and a little note about that. We got kicked off iTunes, and I'm probably going to have to change the RSS feed to make that work again. So if you subscribe through the website and episodes stop coming, go check the website for the new one. That's probably what's happened. I don't think I have any other way around it, because the current one, it says it's still active, but then it won't let me delete the podcast. It's just a big mess. So I'm going to have to actually change the URL of it to make it work again. So I might do that this week. because our, you know, lost a lot of listeners when that happened. Gosh. So probably over half of the downloads it dropped. So
get those dudes back.
That's probably what I'll be doing this week, if not today, after this episode posts, so that people can at least, you know, get that and know about it if they don't read it on the website. And I'll be putting info on the actual website and the Facebook page. Make sure everybody knows about that. And I could change my feed burner feed where people just automatically be okay, I think. But we'll have to do that. But anyway, that's a little administrative thing. I was going to bring it up in the beginning, but I forgot. So anyway, I'll be putting more info about that out. So kind of get a heads up before it happens. Anyway, that's about it. And we are gone. Catch you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And we're out.